time for us to now shift gears. And joining us via the phone line, we are being joined by a very special guest, a gentleman who I believe just a couple of weeks ago was probably at the 10-minute mark of the third period against Toronto, probably thinking to himself, I don't know, you know, all the vacation plans start running through your head. The Bruins, they just don't look like they're going to move on. And lo and behold, probably one of the greatest, most epic comebacks in Boston Bruin history, as they're able to come back, defeat Toronto, take on the Rangers, which we're going to talk with the man who is the radio voice of the Boston Bruins himself, Dave Gosher. Dave, how are you?
Hey, good, Kevin. How you doing there?
I'm doing pretty good. I got to ask you, first and foremost, looking at this Boston Bruins team, we saw them coming into the season. They looked pretty good. But towards the end of the year, it seemed as though they were having issues, and it seemed as though maybe they were getting some guys who were coming back, but yet they didn't have their mojo. Give me your thoughts coming into the playoffs. What was your thoughts initially how they were going to do when they were taking on a young, talented Toronto team?
Well, I think the inconsistencies, Kevin, was something that plagued them, you know, a good portion of the season, even though it was a shortened season. They get off to that great start for the first 20 to 25 games, and then really had a hard time building any consistency up and down their lineup. And then coming into the playoffs, they had played pretty well their final three or four games of the regular year. They didn't get the results they wanted in terms of wins, but you could start to see they were building some consistency in their game, and they were able to build the 3-1 lead against Toronto, and then all of a sudden that consistency disappeared. So I think Will Julian hit it on the head after Game 6 of that series, that they were a Jekyll and Hyde team. And, you know, fortunately for them, with 11 minutes left in the third period against Toronto, Dr. Jekyll showed up, because it was looking pretty bleak there for a while.
I have to say, you look at this Bruins team, they were up, I believe, 3-1, and you and I had the privilege, you know, of being able to talk to you back when they were up 3-0 against Philadelphia. And everybody knows what happened. Of course, the following year, I think they erased all of that. But did that kind of creep into your mind that here we go, here's a Bruins team that was up 3-1, with a young goaltender, Tuukka Rask, the same kid who was, you know, on duty during that Philadelphia series. A lot of things had happened. But did that go through your mind?
I wouldn't say so much, Kevin, because I think that they more than made up for what happened against Philadelphia the next year by winning the Cup. And I think they proved that, you know, winning three Game 7s in 2011, including winning Game 7 in Vancouver, that they could come up with clutch performances in big games. I think the frustrating part was that killer instinct wasn't there in Game 5. That was the one that kind of bothered me. Then they go up to Toronto. They were okay in Game 6. But I got to say, I mean, with 11 minutes left in the third period of Game 7, my thoughts started to turn a little bit to how are you going to, you know, explain this in the postgame show. They're going to blow a 3-1 lead in the series. They're going to lose in the first round again. What potential changes might they make in the offseason? Fortunately, for all of us that care about the Bruins, those thoughts didn't really matter much with that epic comeback they were able to pull off.
Would you say that their comeback, being able to come back from, you know, three goals down, being able to take it into OT, do you feel that kind of gave them a push against the Rangers in that series?
I do. Yeah, I do agree with that, Kevin, for sure. I think that Claude Julien kind of touched on that as well, that, you know, they seem to be, by and large, a different team since then, playing with a ton of confidence. And, you know, you look at that Rangers series now that it's all said and done, and I know the Bruins won the first game in overtime. The second game they won 5-2. The third game they dominated, I thought, for the most part, and they were able to pull it out with a couple of goals in the third period. I didn't think it was that close a series, to be honest with you. The fourth game was disappointing because it was there for the taking, and they squandered a two-goal lead. But the fifth game, they took care of business. So I don't think there's any question they've been bolstered by what they did in that final 11 minutes and in the overtime against Toronto.
Talk about the tangibles that we saw in this series against the Rangers. And then kind of help me weave some storylines here as far as, you know, the Bruins going up against the Penguins, who they faced them three times this year. And I believe it's, you know, the Penguins are able to score 8 goals to the Bruins 5. There were 1-goal games, But yet this is a team that's stacked top to bottom when you look at, you know, their the top three offensive lines. They do have some defensemen that can jump up into play. Give me what you saw in this series against the Rangers and how that's going to help them against this Pittsburgh team.
Well, I think if you look at these two teams, Bruins and the Penguins, they're both built with quality depth up and down their lineup. You know, the forwards, you have to really kind of pick your poison. Which line do you want to try to match up against? Is it going to be Crosby's line or Malkin's line or Sutter's line? You know, and if you're playing against the Bruins, do you want to deal with Krejci's line, Bergeron's, or Kelly's? So, and I think from the Bruins' standpoint, what do they take out of that Rangers series? The fact that they can rely on all four of their lines. I mean, their fourth line had 10 points in that series, Campbell, Fortin, and Paille, including Campbell with a couple of goals in Game 5. So I think they stick to that approach of rolling four lines. The Bruins are at their best. They like to come at you wave after wave. These young defensemen, Krug and Bartkowski, have been fantastic, especially with what Krug's been able to do. I don't know how much I read Kevin into the regular season series. They were 3-1 goal games, but those teams are much different now. You know, the Penguins only had a Ginla for the final game of the three. A Malkin was banged up. The Bruins did not have Bartkowski or Krug in their lineup, or Jágr for that matter. So I'm not sure how much what happened in the regular season really is going to factor into what happens here over the next couple of weeks.
Talk to me about, you talked about Torrey Krug, a kid, you know, I mean, you know, this is a kid who came out of nowhere. 4 goals, 5 games, Bartkowski, 2 young guys. Of course, you know, people were worried when you lost Ferentz, when you lost Seidenberg. I mean, how short of a leash will they be on? I mean, are they going to be the ones that go out there and hit the ice game one? Or do you see the veterans come back? I don't even know where Ferentz is as far as coming back. He's probably still a couple games off, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's back skating, which is a good sign. You know, Seidenberg was able to come back in Game 5 against the Rangers. He looked a little bit rusty in that game, but I think this rest will benefit him, among others, before starting the conference finals. I'm not sure if Ferentz is going to be ready for Game 1, and I'm not sure about Redden either, and I would say if it was a question of Redden or one of the two younger guys, Krug or Bartkowski, I think they would go with the younger guys. What they've been able to infuse into this lineup, Kevin, is puck movement and transition game. The Bruins look to me like a much faster team now than they did, we'll say, a month ago. And I think a lot of that is attributed to these young kids, Krug and Bartkowski, and their ability to move the puck and get on the attack, be it through a pass up the ice or just skating it out of their own zone. I'm not sure how much that maybe caught the Rangers off guard to a certain degree because they didn't know what to expect there. But from their defenseman right now, I don't know how close Ferentz is. Although he's back skating, that's a good thing. And if it came down to me, just my own opinion, if it came down to one of the younger guys or Redden, I think they really like what those young guys mean to them right now.
I guess I have to ask you, taking a look at Pittsburgh, what are the weaknesses? Do you see Thomas Vokoun being a weakness? I mean, this is an older guy. He's right around, you know, Tim Thomas. When Tim Thomas, I think when he was in his mid-30s, a guy who, you know, you look at him and go, oh, he's kind of old, but no, not really. Do you see him as being a weak point, or do you feel that, you know, that if you put enough traffic in front of him, that the Bruins like their chances?
Well, I do think that if you were going to do, you know, you break down the series and you put a check mark in the columns you think the teams have an advantage, I think the goaltending goes to the Bruins. I really do. I think Tuukka Rask has been great outside of what happened in Game 4 against the Rangers. He bounced back and he allowed 6 goals in the 4 wins for the Bruins this last series. So I would be surprised, to be honest with you, if Marc-Andre Fleury didn't get back in the net at some point in this series. You know, Bokoun's been good enough, let's put it that way. He came in Game 5 against the Islanders, and he's gone 6-1 since then. So I'm not sold at the end of the day if the Penguins are going to make a longer run in the playoffs, if he's going to be the guy to take them there. Part of me thinks Fleury gets back in there, but there's a reason he has not played. He was real shaky in the first 4 games against the Islanders. So I like Bruins goaltending. I like Rask. I like the confidence he's playing with and the confidence that the team has when he's in there.
How does physicality come into play here? I mean, Milan Lucic, I think this team kind of goes as he goes, and we saw him being a more dominant from that Game 7 against Toronto throughout the Rangers series. if you saw him going into a corner and putting the body on someone, a lot of times his teammates were following him. How important is he to this series?
Well, huge, huge. And I would even bring it back, Kevin, to really since he was a healthy scratch late in the regular season, his numbers have been excellent. But it's more than the numbers. His physical tenacity he brings to it really kind of can, I think, have a filter down effect through the rest of the lineup. And if you know, to your point, you go back to the final 10, 11 minutes of that Game 7 against Toronto, he looked like a man possessed out there. It looked like he was going to refuse to let his team lose. Ran over Carl Gunnarsson a couple of times, obviously scored the goal that made it 4-3, kept the play alive. If you go back and look at it, Bergeron's tying goal, Lucic poked the puck away from Van Riemsdyk along the boards to keep the play in the offensive zone, and eventually Bergeron tied it. So, he's playing his best at the biggest points in this series, and it's great to see because, obviously his game's been dissected quite a bit, and a lot is expected of him, and lately he's really been able to bring that.
If you had to call it, how do you see it going? I know you're the guy who calls the games, and you're probably gonna be a little bit biased here, but how do you feel it? Do you feel that you and I have had conversations. I mean, I didn't think they were going to be able to beat Vancouver, and we saw them beat Vancouver and win the Cup. Is this a similar situation? Do you feel the Bruins can take it in 6 or 7, or do you feel Pittsburgh is just too strong?
Well, I mean, I think they're pretty evenly matched, Kevin. I'm a little leery about it, but predictions, part of me kind of likes the Bruins in 6. It is a little bit scary when you look at the Penguins, and especially up front, what they can do, and how in the last two games against Ottawa, they put up 13 goals and just looked like they weren't going to be denied. I think the Bruins, how they play team defense, how good Rask is in net, and the fact the Bruins offensively have been able to go on the attack here, especially over this last round against the Rangers, I think it's going to be a tough series. I really do. I know the Rangers, I know the Penguins are number one overall in the East, and it's what Milan Lucic called, almost like the Miami Heat of the NHL with all the star power. But I think they're a little susceptible defensively. I think the Bruins will get their chances, their scoring chances, and it's just a matter for them of trying to bury them when they do.
I know you're a busy guy watching what's going on here in the Eastern Conference, but casting an eye over to who the Bruins could potentially, we don't want to put the cart before the horse, of course, but you never know. Are you watching what's going on in the Western Conference? You see, the Cup champion Kings right now are tied up with San Jose. That's a gimme as to what's going to happen with Game 7, but I believe that each home team has won, so that plays in the favor of Los Angeles. And then you got Detroit with the Blackhawks on the ropes right now as they're getting ready to play, I think, Game 6 tonight. Give me your thoughts on the Western Conference.
Well, I will say Chicago, that series has surprised me a bit. The Blackhawks, who had such a great regular season and went, 24 in a row without a regulation loss, I'm surprised they were down 3-1. I know it's 3-2 heading into this Game 6, but, their offense had dried up. They had scored 2 goals in 3 games in that series, in Games 2, 3, and 4, and then were able to come alive in Game 5. Jonathan Toews had been real quiet without a goal in the playoffs before Game 5, but, this Detroit team, which has really kind of had to change their defense men on the fly, and with Nick Lidstrom retiring after last season, they've had some injuries on their blue line, but great coaching job by Mike Babcock, and that series has surprised me to a certain extent. And the LA-San Jose series, the home team wins every game, right? So it's I'll be curious to see how that Game 7 turns out in LA. It's been a tight, tight series, really has, and I don't expect Game 7 to be much different. And who comes out of all that, who knows? I think that you could make a case for any of those teams. That's just how close it is out west.
What are you doing with the extra days until that Western Conference is all decided and we know who's going to be vying for the Western side of things? What are you doing with your free time? Anything good?
Yeah, nothing real special. Just, spend a little time with the family here, Memorial Day, and a couple of cookouts, and then at some point, I've already started to turn my attention a little bit towards the Penguins and, starting my preparation for that and what I need to do whenever that starts. At some point later this week, be it Thursday or Friday, I'm even hearing rumor of potentially Saturday, but a lot of that depends on what happens with the series in the Western Conference. So It is good to just have a few days here because, you know, the seven-game series in the first round and then back and forth from New York in the second round. It's nice to get a little bit of breathing room here, Kevin, but I will tell you, it's great to be broadcasting hockey games late May and early June. Those are the games you want to be doing.
Definitely, and we thank you for taking a few minutes out to talk a little bit of hockey. We've appreciated it over the past couple of years that you've had a chance to share your knowledge about the hometown team, and hopefully maybe we can talk after this series, and we'll be talking about the Bruins going on to the Cup.
Yeah, I hope so. That would be great. Thanks a lot.
Well, you enjoy your time off, and we'll speak soon.
All right, Kevin.
That, of course, was Mr. Dave Gosher. He is the voice of the Boston Bruins, joining us for a couple of minutes. We're going to step aside, and when we come back, more Monday night talk. Don't go anywhere.